shake their hand, kiss them on the cheek if you're kin to them. Be seated, or just go ahead and be seated if you want to. Welcome, man. Welcome to Bethel. It's always fun to come hang out with you guys on Sunday morning. And so today is an exciting day. It's always exciting when we kick off a new series. And so we're going to kick off a new series today, and we're going to start going through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book. It's all about wisdom. And how many of you know we could all use just a little bit more wisdom? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. How many of you would agree with me today that just like that song we just sang, God stepped into our Egypt. He stepped into our life full of bondage where we were shackled down to addictions and strongholds, and he delivered us, and he is taking us to the promised land. And here's the thing, though. Once we get to the promised land, we're going to need some wisdom in order to stay living in the freedom that God has given unto us. Once we step into salvation, once we step into the kingdom of God, we make Jesus our Lord and Savior. Once we start trying to live for the Lord, the enemy is going to do everything he can to get us to go back to our bondage. Can I hear a good amen? It's one of the things that I see as pastor for the many years that I've pastored is people come and they get touched by God and they get delivered by God. And the moment that they don't get their prayers answered, or the moment that things don't go the way they want to, the first thing that every one of us want to do, me included, is we want to default back to our old lifestyle. Can I tell you something? If you're here today and you're thinking about, you know, things aren't going my way and this Christian thing is not working out like I want it to, can I tell you that the old life that you lived is not as good as the enemy is making you think that it is? If it was that good, you would have never left it and came over here to this side in the first place. Don't have this tendency to want to go back. We're going to discuss wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. A few weeks ago, I challenged you to commit to spending extra time in the Word of God. I challenged you to commit to daily waking up at least 5 days a week and reading the Word of God. People always say this to me, Cody, I want to read the Word of God, but where do I start? And I always tell them this, either start Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels, or start in Proverbs. Proverbs has been a stimulus for me and my family for years. Proverbs is really easy to read. It gives us wisdom and intelligence and knowledge about living our daily life and going through this earth. Proverbs is easy because there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and there's 31 days a month. And so if you get off a day or two, you can just scoot on up. And so today, we're going to dive off into a six-week study in the book of Proverbs. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for life and for loving us. Thank you for stepping into our Egypt and delivering us into freedom. And thank you for promising to take us to the promised land. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today, that you would challenge us, and I pray, God, that you would convict us about living a life of wisdom, godly wisdom. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, so here's a question. We're going to be really basic today. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Who is this guy that wrote Proverbs that we're going to listen to and we're going to try to learn from? The scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1, who the author is. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1 says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon is David's son, king of Israel. So the guy that wrote this book is a guy named Solomon. His father is David. Y'all remember David. Come on, somebody. I mean, he is the son of Jesse. He is a sheep guarding. He is a lion killing. He's a giant slaying king of Israel. He's described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. David is a hero of everyone that knew him. He was a great man of God. He wasn't perfect. He didn't always do it exactly right, but he loved God, and he led God's people in the ways of Almighty God. David, this king, had a son named Solomon. Solomon's mama's name was Bathsheba. So let me give you a little backstory on what happens when King David passes the gauntlet to his young son Solomon. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. One of my favorite stories, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. When David, this mighty man, this warrior, this hero, this man after God's own heart, when David's time to die drew near, He commanded his son Solomon, come in here to this dying room. Come in here, son. I have some final words to say to you. And David's final words to his young son Solomon are found in verse number 2. He said, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong, son, and show yourself a man. What a masculine mandate. Come on, somebody. I just believe that some young sons in our world today need to hear their father say, son, show yourself strong and be a man. Get rid of them skinny jeans. Quit drinking that soy milk. Eat you some beefsteak and drink some black coffee. Pull your britches on. Put your boots on. Be strong, son. Be strong, daughter, and show yourself a man or a woman of God. David makes this mandate. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. How does that happen? How do you show yourself a man of God or a woman of God? A woman of God, it's explained in verse number 3. You keep the charge of the Lord your God. You walk in his ways. You keep his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimony as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do wherever you turn. Verse 4 says, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying this, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. David's final words to his young son Solomon, take the throne. You are now the king. You are now the one that everyone is looking to. You are now the one that is going to lead not only your family, but lead this nation. Can you imagine the pressure that Solomon felt? Can you imagine the responsibility and the heaviness on Solomon's shoulders following a legend? Making your father proud, leading an entire nation in the ways of God? Most biblical scholars will say this, that Solomon was around 20 years old at the time the throne was passed to him. Now, how many of you know 20-year-olds are dumb? At least I was when I was 20 years old. 20 years old? I mean, like, they're just trying to figure out how to get by and trying to figure out what's going to happen in life and how they're going to live their life. But Solomon was 20, and the entire nation was handed over him to lead. I want us to see and I want us to look what the wisest man ever. I want us to see what Solomon did when he felt this weight of responsibility and this pressure. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 13 through 14. Solomon loved the Lord and followed the decrees of his father. Except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local place of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and he sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, what do you want, Solomon? Ask and it will be given unto you. Solomon replied, you showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on the throne. Now, O Lord, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Solomon said, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? Verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or for wealth or for the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Several things here. The first thing I want us to see is that Solomon was a man that understood the power of sacrifice.
The first thing that we see is that Solomon went to the local church in Gibeon and he offered up 1,000 sacrifices. Two things right there. Number one, Solomon knew the importance of a local body of believers and a local church. Solomon knew that if I'm going to serve God, Solomon knew that I need to be around some other people that believe the same way that I believe. I need to go on a Sunday morning where I can enter into worship and be led by an amazing band. Solomon knew that he needed to go to church on a regular basis to hear the word of God spoken. How many of you know we are better when we show up at the local house of worship? Solomon said, I'm going to go to the house of worship. But Solomon did not go with the consumer mentality. Solomon did not go and say, what does that church have to offer for me? What kind of programs does that church have to offer? How good is this or how good is that? Solomon said, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord and I am going to offer up 1,000 sacrifices unto God. Can I tell you, there is power in sacrificing for the kingdom of God. There's power in sacrificing. He showed up, and when he showed up, here's what else I want you to see. Do you know how Solomon knew the power of sacrifice? Because he saw his father before him sacrifice to go to the house of God. If we want to receive from God, I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of doctrine they're preaching in the churches in America in 2025, the more that we're going to get out of this thing is because the more we're going to give to God. It's a sacrificial thing. Solomon knew to sacrifice because he saw his father sacrifice. He went, he sacrificed, he gave it up. And God says, what can I do to help you as you govern this place? And I love the next thing you're going to see about Solomon. He was full of humility. He is from the royal heritage. His daddy is David. But Solomon says these words to God, give me wisdom because I'm like a little child and I don't know how to do this on my own. How many of you know the Bible said God is close to a broken and contrite spirit? And if we want God to speak to us and we want God to give us wisdom, we're going to have to go down on our knees and say, it doesn't matter what my family name is, and it doesn't matter where I have worked, and it doesn't matter how long I have preached. God, I am in a place right now where I cannot do this on my own. When we humble ourselves and when we ask God with a reverent and a holy way, God will show up and he'll do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we're asking or thinking. Solomon was humble. He said, help me, I'm like a little child. And God said, okay, I'll give you wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom, y'all. Wisdom is the key to life. Wisdom is the key to longevity. And wisdom is the key to abundance. So back to this question. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon, the wisest man ever. I would say this, the wisest man ever, we ought to listen to what that guy has to say. Can I hear a good amen? Why did he write the Proverbs? Why did he take time? Why did he take out a pen and paper? Why did he write the Proverbs? Because he knew firsthand the benefits and the blessings of God's wisdom. And seeking that wisdom, can I say one thing to you before I get started? Wisdom in your life and wisdom in my life will empower us to overcome our failures, our weaknesses, and our shortcomings. I believe with all of my heart, we don't need another good church service. We don't need another revelation from God. What you and I need to do is accept the wisdom that God has given us. And if we'll apply that wisdom to our marriage, if we'll apply that wisdom to how we raise our kids, if we'll apply that wisdom to how we conduct our business, it will help us to overcome our shortcomings. Wisdom. Solomon, why did he write this? Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 2. Why did he write the Proverbs? Proverbs 1:2. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline and to help them understand the insights of the wise. To teach people wisdom and discipline. Now, you've already agreed with me that we need some more wisdom. How many are willing to apply the discipline that we need to receive more wisdom? Discipline. Discipline lives. Discipline. Proverbs 1:3. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right and just and fair. Can I tell you that we're not going to live successful lives without some discipline? Should I say it again? We are not going to live successful lives in the kingdom of God without having some discipline. What does discipline mean? It means to control yourself by obedience and by training. To control yourself. Now, how many would agree with me? We're all really good at trying to control other people. Come on, somebody. Discipline is to control ourselves, to control our mind, to control our heart, to control our actions. Discipline and wisdom will lead to a successful life. To honor God, to lead well, to add value to life, to live with joy. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to have more wisdom? There's three specific groups that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs to. Today, we're going to talk about those three groups. And I'm going to tell you right up front, you're going to need to classify yourself today. Because we all fit into one of these three groups. Who are the three groups that Solomon wrote this book to? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young, and let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. So he's written to the simple, to the young, and to the wise. Classify yourself. The first group I want to talk to today is you simple-minded folks. Should I say us simple-minded folks? To the simple folks, Proverbs 1, verse 20 through 22. Wisdom shouts out in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street and to those gathered in front of the city gates. Here's what wisdom says. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish in your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? How long are we going to keep on living simple-minded lives? How long? What is a simpleton? Let me just tell you, it's the guy that plays the drums back there. A simpleton is a person that lacks intelligence, or a person, they lack intelligence or they lack common sense. Now, I know it's funny and we joke about it, but let's be real for a minute. How many of us are living simple lives? We lack intelligence in the decisions that we make. We really have no common sense. I mean, we've got to look at our lives and say, am I living a simple life? Because God is good, and he has great plans for me, and God delivered me from a life of bondage, and he's picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock to stay. But I am so simple in my life and so simple in my decisions that I find myself back over there in the land of bondage. Like simple is like we make the same mistakes over and 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 over again. That's a simple-minded person. Like at some point you gotta go, God help me. I realize my family is past dysfunction to me. I realize that I'm not the smartest person in the world, but God, I am smart enough to recognize there is a pattern in my life, and me being simple-minded and me being simpleton is what's got me in the mess that I'm in. And I don't say that with any condemnation, and I don't say that with any hate, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict you that if you want to quit living a simple life, then trust God, ask for help, and get out of that lifestyle. We make the same ignorant, foolish choices over and over again. We respond the same way every time something goes wrong. We react the same way every time. Our answer is always the same. Our world is full of people that are simple-minded, and we got to ask ourselves, am I one of these? Am I one of these people? If so, Proverbs 9:6 is our answer. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live and learn to use good judgment. I am convinced with all of my heart that if you and I will make up in our mind, I am not doing this anymore. I am going to be intelligent. I am going to be smart. I am going to operate in the wisdom of God. I am convinced if we will make that up in our mind, 75% of our problems will be gone overnight.
if we just don't be simple anymore. Solomon writes to the simple people, and then he writes to the young people, the kids, the children. How many of you know our children need good godly wisdom and good godly training and good godly instruction in the world we live in these days? How many of you know they are facing much more temptation? There is much more evil out there that's prevalent, and they need good godly wisdom as they live their lives. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9. Young folk, listen up. Young folk, listen up. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9. My child, listen when your daddy corrects you. Amen. Don't neglect your mama's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Can I tell you something, young people? Your daddy is not just an old hard butt, and your mama is not just an old fuddy-duddy. They understand the responsibility that God has given you unto them, and they have to lead you and instruct you and teach you because, listen to me, young person, you are probably a simpleton, just saying. We need godly teaching and wisdom in our life. Can I say one more thing? That puts a lot of responsibility on you, mom and dad. That puts a lot of responsibility on you, mom and dad, to lead and teach and train and set an example before your children so that they will be elevated and they won't be brought down, so that the biggest struggle they're fighting in their life is not overcoming what you did or did not teach them. That's good preaching right there. This points to godly correction, godly instruction, and training from parents. Come on, parents. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. It is our privilege. Children, young people, look, 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 look. Take it from an old guy. Seek wisdom right now while you're young. Seek wisdom while you're young. Seek wisdom about your lifestyle, about how you're going to live. Can I just be real with you, young people? Seek wisdom with about what you post on social media. Seek wisdom with how you put yourself out there. Seek wisdom in how you conduct your business. Seek wisdom as a young person in what kind of career that you're going to step into. Seek wisdom, young people, when it comes time to dating. Just because he has a lot of swag and a cool pickup doesn't probably mean that you should be dating him. Use lots of wisdom. Use wisdom when you're by yourself and you're single and you're making money. Don't waste it all. Use wisdom with your money. Use wisdom as you enter into marriage. Use wisdom with your time. Young people, use and seek wisdom right now. Your life will be better because of it. Seek wisdom. Proverbs 3, 21 through 22. Proverbs 3, 21 through 22. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. Young people, have some common sense, dear Jesus. Please give our young people some common sense. I'm all about education. I'm all about college. I'm all about intellect and all of those things. But our world needs some more common sense. Come on, somebody. Seek it, that common sense and good judgment. It's so undervalued. I'm saying this again. Parents, it's our job and it is our privilege to teach our children how to have good common sense and how to use good judgment. Solomon said, I'm writing this letter to the simple. I'm writing this letter to the young. And you know what? Don't forget to come back next week, because next week is all about young people. And it's all about teaching. It's all about training. It's all about making them behave. It's all about getting the word of God in them. Next week is going to be good. And I look forward to watching some of you squirm in a chair. Just saying. To the simple. To the young. And the last one is this. To the wise. How many of you are in that group? Don't raise your hand. No, I'm teasing. To the wise, to the older bunch, to the older bunch who's been through young age, who's been through teenage years, who's married, who have been married, who have some children. What about us? What about us that think that we're wise? Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. How many want to be wiser? Let those with understanding receive guidance. Here's the deal. We can all get wiser and we can all use more wisdom.
All of us. Sometimes when we get to a certain age and when we get to a certain level in life, we feel like we've got enough wisdom and we have this deal figured out. I don't expect you to say amen, but I'll say it about me just like you're thinking in your mind. I've been here. I've been married for like 25, 26, 27, 28 years, somewhere like that. That was wise right there because I guarantee you I got it. I've been married, man. I've gone through the young years. I've gone through the stupid years. I've gone through the years of sowing my wild oats, and I've gotten married, and I've stayed married for a lot of years, and we've raised three kids, or tried to raise three kids, and I've been a pastor for 25 years. You would think that, Cody, you got some wisdom, but can I be honest with y'all? I struggle with more stuff right now than I ever have in the past because God is raising me up to new levels, and I'm going to tell you something, new levels bring new devils, and so you know what? I need wisdom for where I am right now. I have a bigger congregation. I have a bigger staff. We have bigger money issues. There's so many things, and I still need wisdom right now. And you still need wisdom right now. And what we have to do is swallow our pride and go, God, I need wisdom for this level that I'm at right now. We never get to a place where we have it all figured out. We never get to a place where we have all the wisdom that we need. We have to stay humble and stay willing to learn more and more all the time. Proverbs 18:15. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. My prayer as we lay a foundation of going through the book of Proverbs is that we look today honestly and we take an authentic look at our lives and we take a transparent look at our lives, and are we simpletons? Are we young? Or are we the wise? And wherever we are, my prayer is that we have something inside of us that says, you know what? I'm not as smart as I think I am. I'm like Solomon. I am a little child. God, would you give me wisdom? Remember, God said, what do you want, Solomon? I'll give you whatever you want. And he said, I want wisdom to honor you and to lead my people. And you know what God said? Because you have asked for wisdom, I will also give you riches and fame. That reminds me of a New Testament scripture that we all know really well. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Worship team, would you come help me close? I want to ask you to bow your heads. As we go into the book of Proverbs, Solomon, that wrote the Proverbs, was the wisest man ever. He was the wisest man ever, not with a worldly wisdom, not with a cultural wisdom, not with a political wisdom, but with wisdom of God. The Bible says that the wisdom of man is foolishness compared to the wisdom of God. We live in a culture where we want to read self-help books and we need to go over here to these life coaches. I would just submit to you today that Solomon would be the best life coach that every one of us could apply to in our lives. And it doesn't cost us, and we don't have to get an appointment, and we don't have to drive to town to a meeting. We can open up the Word of God and just begin to read Proverbs. Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Solomon has laid out a 32-chapter guide to godly wisdom that is available to each one of us here today. The question on the table is this. Are you and I willing to listen? Are you and I willing to go after, be disciplined, and apply this wisdom in our lives? Are we willing? Only you can answer that question. Solomon said, wisdom and discipline equals a successful and a long life. Who doesn't want that? I'll read you one more scripture while your heads are bowed and eyes closed. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, simple, young, or older, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who will give generously to all without reproach, and it will be given unto him. Ask God, that's my prayer, that you would ask God right now. You would begin to ask God for wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can't just say in the one-hour church service today, God, give me wisdom, and boom, it happens. You got to seek that wisdom. See, oftentimes we say, God, give me patience, and we think God's just going to, boom, all of a sudden give us peace and patience. No. God will send someone along that will get on your very, very last nerve
and drive you crazy, and then you have to exercise patience and apply godly patience in your life. If you want wisdom, you got to ask him for it today, but then you got to walk out of here with a renewed mind and a renewed heart and say, I'm going to choose and I'm going to apply wisdom in my life. How do I get that, Cody? Well, you read the Word of God. You seek wise counsel. You hang around wise people. The Scripture says if you want to be wise, hang around those that are wise. Seek it. And then be disciplined to practice it in your everyday life. I close with this. Will you exercise the discipline to make it all work out so that you can live a life of godly wisdom that will change your life and change the life of everyone around you? I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to close with worship. Father, we love you and we thank you for today and we thank you for this moment. Lord, I thank you for the men and women that are in this room, for the simpletons, Lord. I thank you for the young people that are in this room and for the wise that are in this room. Lord, I pray that you would speak to every one of those groups today, Lord. I pray for those that are simple and they're just making simple decisions and they're making the same ignorant moves and doing the same old things and they get caught up and they think that there's no way out. Lord, I pray that you would set them free in their minds today and they would know that they could ask you, God, and that you're willing to do great and mighty things in their life and you're willing to empower them. Lord, give them the discipline to step out of a simple life, to step out of being a simpleton, and let us be wiser in all of the decisions that we make. Lord, I pray for the young people. God, I pray for the young people, that there would be some young people in this room that would get a hold of wisdom at a much younger age than what I got a hold of it is. Lord, give wisdom to 3 and 4 and 5 year olds. Give wisdom to 8 and 10 and 12 year olds. Give wisdom to teenagers and the high schoolers and the ones going to college. Give them wisdom to be able to see and discern and have common sense and use good judgment as they try to walk out a life that brings glory to you. Lord, I thank you for the older people in this place. I thank you for the bald heads and for the gray heads, Lord. I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that the older folk in this room would know that you are not done with them yet, God, that you are not done with them yet, that you still have them here and that they need to continue to seek wisdom so that they can impart that wisdom to the younger and to the simple ones, Lord. We all need your wisdom, and so we ask you, God, pour it out in our hearts today, and then give us the courage and discipline to do something different and to follow your wise ways. Lord, speak to us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, stand up on your feet, and let's close with worship today.